Hello and welcome to the Exaserve Decarbonising Gas podcast. My name's Victoria Mustard and I'm the Decarbonisation Strategy Lead here at Exaserve. As the central data service provider for Britain's gas market, Exaserve is committed to helping bring the gas industry together in pursuit of a common goal, decarbonisation of the UK gas network. We want to help plot a smooth path forward and bring the industry together towards this common cause. We believe that hydrogen has a crucial role to play in decarbonising the gas network, and we're lucky enough to be able to work closely with the amazing people and innovative businesses that are pushing hydrogen projects forward. So today I'm joined by Darren Elfin. So Darren, if you'd like to introduce yourself, please.
Yeah, hi, I'm Darren Elfin. So I'm Director of Hydrogen Development and Operations in Caton.
The intention today, Darren and I met at a Future of Utilities event, and I really loved some of the conversations we were having around both biomethane and hydrogen. So I wanted to talk to him about both today. But I think if we start with biomethane and then move into hydrogen, if that's okay with you, Darren. First things first, what are your thoughts on biomethane and what are you and the team at Cadent doing to kind of develop the biomethane story?
Yeah, I think biomethane is a really important part of supplying gas to our customers. I mean, firstly, of course, it's a green gas. It is coming from, you know, in some cases, waste products, food that we've left on our plate or isn't sold at a supermarket, but ends up going into an anaerobic digestion plant, and ultimately we can put that gas into our system. So in Cadent now we have 43 AD plants connected to our network, and in equivalent terms, that's enough to heat around 275,000 homes on an annual basis. It's quite substantial now, actually, the amount of green gas that's moving through our system.
It's great, isn't it? And that's there already. So I was talking to John Baldwin the other day, having a look at what kind of work he's doing around biomethane and what his team is bringing to it. And a big conversation with John is looking at how we can get as much green gas as possible onto the network. So I think you were recently at anaerobic digestion site. Is that the word?
Yes, sure.
Could you tell us a bit more about that and what that's doing to kind of bring this to life for people who don't really understand how it works?
Sure, yeah. So the plant I visited recently is actually the most recent plant to connect to Cadent's network. So it's in a place called Attleborough in Norfolk. So it's a new AD plant, and the feedstock there is waste product. So, you know, what I saw when I was there was, you know, waste coming in from restaurants and, you know, product that hasn't been sold at supermarkets. And it's that type of organic food waste that can go into the anaerobic digestion plant and ultimately feed our local gas grid. Now, just down the road from the plant, there's about 4,000 homes, 10,500 people living in those 4,000 homes. And in effect now, when the AD plant is up and running, the gas that plant is producing is in essence going straight to those homes and supplying their boilers. So it's a really great way of taking waste, you know, things that we don't need anymore, and actually using it. So it's fantastic from a circular economy perspective. It's really great from a sustainability perspective. And it means we can actually, you know, use something that we don't need anymore. So I love that part around it.
Very much the reduce, reuse, recycle in action, isn't it, at these plants?
Absolutely. And a real interesting example they gave me actually was, there was a shipping container that had come over from New Zealand, and it had 18 tons of apples coming over for UK supermarkets, so us as consumers can eat apples. But there's probably a bigger conversation around whether that's a good idea or not, but that's the way the food supply chain works. Anyway, the container arrives at Felixstowe, so not too far away from this AD plant, and the customs note said 18 tons of prunes, so probably an administrative error. However, what that means in reality is those apples can't enter the UK food supply chain. So you've got two options, really. You can send it back to where it come from, but at considerable cost. So actually what happened is these apples went down the road from Suffolk into Norfolk, And all 18 tons of apples have ended up in this anaerobic digestion plant. In terms of the reuse, all the wooden crates that these apples sat in, they sold to a local farmer that's now using them for turnips. So that's fantastic. And in terms of the apples, what a shame they had to go that way, but at least they got put to some use. And in essence, these 4,000 homes just down the road from the AD plant were effectively, their boilers were running on apples for a few days. I mean, how fantastic is that in terms of taking waste and doing something useful with it?
Absolutely brilliant. So I live in Warwickshire, and there is it hadn't occurred to me, which is ridiculous considering what I do for a living, but we've recently had all the bins have changed. So you have to have a green bin, you have a blue bin, and the green stuff is being picked up to go and feed an anaerobic digestion plant. And it just never occurred to me that that's what's powering some of our gas that's coming through. So it's just a great, great story of reduced, reuse and recycle, definitely.
Totally agree. And our domestic food waste as a feedstock for anaerobic digestion plants, you know, that's going to increase. So as you mentioned, in your local area, the local authority have already now asking you to segregate your food waste. That's not the case across the UK. So around 40% of local authorities have implemented segregated food waste, but that means 60% haven't. And so as that starts to get introduced over the next couple of years, and it's legislated now, so it will happen, it means the level of waste product that's going to be available to go into these AD plants is going to increase. So what a great way to do something really useful with that waste. It's quite literally, you know, yesterday's pizza ends up in an AD plant and is powering people's boilers in a really green way. So it's fantastic.
You've absolutely seen what's been going into my food bin, definitely. I think the other thing when we were talking before, you were talking about something around coffee. So I considered it sort of domestic food waste. Obviously never thought about the apples, but also you were talking about some stuff that's coming from supermarkets, like coffee or something.
Yeah. So when I was at the plant, there were a number of products there actually that had basically gone past their sell-by date. So, you know, so the product can't be sold anymore. There's two things I saw there. One was the Tassimo coffee pods, and the other was Lindt chocolate, both of which can't be sold because they've gone past their use-by date. So in essence, they have a deboxing machine, quite a clever piece of kit, where they can literally chuck it in with the boxes and the cardboard and the paper and the foil and et cetera. And the machine separates the things that you put in. Importantly, the organic matter, so the chocolate or the coffee, that ends up going into the AD plant and of course can be turned into green gas, put into our network. And then the other products, the cardboard, the paper, the foil, the plastics, that can then go off for recycling. So again, whilst, you know, ideally the products would have been sold, the reality is there is product that doesn't get sold, and we've got to do something with it. And landfill certainly not the answer. So what a great way to do something useful with product that can no longer be sold to consumers.
Absolutely. I think it's brilliant. I think much as that is great and that's there today and is definitely growing, much as we would like to make our gas as green as possible, we're not going to be able to do all of that with anaerobic digestion. So the big conversation really that's going on in the kind of, it's greenification a word, the greenification of gas is very much conversations around hydrogen and how hydrogen is being developed and where we're getting to. And at the moment, we're seeing quite interesting challenges that people are thinking about when they think of hydrogen, and sort of networks in particular have been getting a lot of pushback around, is it safe? Do we want to do it? Are you just trying to put hydrogen in because you're trying to save your skin kind of conversation? So what I'd like to talk to you about now is really why you think hydrogen is a good idea and what it can do. What I don't think is necessarily strong public knowledge is what gas is used for today and why we need to replace it. So what is your view of the future of gas and why is hydrogen going to be important to the UK?
Yeah, great question. And I think firstly, it's important just to reflect on today to understand why hydrogen is going to be so important. So around 40% of all the electricity that's generated today comes from natural gas. And that's just a, you know, it's just fact. That's how it works today. And what natural gas does for us is gives us flexibility and gives us storage of energy. And that's really important for the electricity system as we know it today. Equally, from a Cadent point of view, we have over 150 power generation plants connected to our network today. So natural gas supplying a power generation plant that's creating electricity. So our gas system and our electricity system today are much more connected than perhaps people realize and appreciate. And as I say, that role of natural gas is really important for flexibility and storage. And that's why hydrogen is so important as we go forward. We need that flexibility, we need that storage, and I think that's going to be important for our electricity system in order for it to be resilient and stable. Equally, we know from an industry point of view, there are lots of industries that in order to decarbonize, electrification just simply isn't an option for them. And that's probably where a project like HyNet in the Northwest, which is one of the government Track 1 clusters, is very much focused on how do we decarbonize industry. And if I look in the Northwest, products like, Monster Munch, the shampoo that we use, normal domestic products that we expect to see on the supermarket shelf, but they've come from quite energy intensive processes. Yeah. And so those types of organizations need a solution that will enable them to decarbonize, and that solution for them will be hydrogen. So I think, hydrogen for the electricity systems, I think, is going to be important. Hydrogen for industry is absolutely important. Equally, I think hydrogen can play a huge role in transport.
Yeah.
So again, if I reflect on today, in Cadent, we currently have 13 compressed natural gas filling stations. So we're seeing people move away from diesel to compressed natural gas, which is a big step towards decarbonizing. There's savings of over 80% CO2. That's why companies like Evri and DHL are decarbonizing substantially. But the ultimate answer, of course, is we want to get to net zero. So to do that, we need hydrogen. So, hydrogen can play a role in heavy transport. It's potentially going to play a role in aviation, in shipping. And there's lots of research work going on in those transport sectors at the moment to understand what role it can play in transport. And then finally, we've got heat. So how do we heat our homes? There seems to be a sort of a bit of a debate around, is it a hydrogen boiler or is it a heat pump? I don't think it's a one or the other type of question, actually. What we do know today, though, is we have a gas system today that runs up and down our streets and goes to our homes as it does today. And we're able to move around vast amounts of energy. And what we do know is in the winter, when it's really cold, and particularly if the wind isn't blowing and the sun's not shining, etc., how do we heat people's homes and how do we do that effectively? And that's where hydrogen can play a really important role in residential heating as well. So it's quite, for hydrogen actually, it's quite a broad landscape of electricity generation, industry, transport, and heat for homes. So it's an absolutely integral part of how we get to net zero ultimately.
Thank you. So with all of that in mind, I'm going to give you a magic wand. It's the energy industry magic wand. So feel the power, you're going to have this magic wand. You can make one decision or you can do one thing now that is going to move our energy industry forward towards net zero. What would that be?
I think the key thing is we need to get on with it, is the short version of that answer. There's been some fantastic work done from a research and development point of view over the years. Things are moving forward, but ultimately this is about delivering it. We need to actually go and deliver. So let's use HyNet as an example in the Northwest, and there are other clusters as well in the UK. We need to actually get on with it, build the production plant, produce the hydrogen, have the transportation system, get the storage in place, and get, particularly for industry who are absolutely ready to go, let's actually make this happen. And when I say we, there's a role here for the gas networks, there's a role here for government, there's the health and safety executives. So it's a number of different players here that have to come together to make this happen. You know, the government have been clear on their target in terms of 10 gigawatts of production by 2030. We're already in 2023. And some of what I'm just describing there, you know, is several years in the making. So I think the main thing for me is that we just need to move forward now and get on with it and make it happen.
Do you have a view as to what those kind of blockers are currently?
So I think that there's a balance between decisions that the government needs to make, which it sets some of those out on its 10-point plan. There's an element here of, you know, where does investment come from? And that very much links back to government as well around the sort of the transport and storage business model, for example. So there's quite a level of coordination that's required here between government, between industry, private investment. So I think it's trying to bring all of that together to enable us to step forward together so that we can actually get on and deliver the projects.
Great. Thank you very much for your time, Darren. I really appreciate it. Hope you've all enjoyed listening to Darren today, and let's see how we go.
Thank you very much.
It's an exciting time for the gas industry at the moment, and decarbonisation is a fundamental part of how we move forward. If you'd like to keep up to date, we have a great range of resources for the gas industry that you can access. This includes our monthly Delivering Decarb newsletter, which covers topical issues of the moment, our monthly working groups that we'd love you to get involved with, an intranet for industry containing more detailed information about pertinent projects, an online resource hub on exaserve.com that contains blogs, podcasts, information packs, videos, and more. Thank you for listening, and I hope you tune in next time.